Hey there. You're listening to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that formed and transformed them. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and this week on This Song, we are going to hear from singer and songwriter Sharon Van Etten. But before we get started, I want to put this out to the world. You see, we here at Team This Song, we are putting together our second listener episode. So if you have a story about a song that changed you in some way, we want to hear it. All you have to do is record your story to a voice memo and send it to us. Our email is thissong@kutx.org. We loved making the first listener episode. If you haven't heard it, you should go check it out. And we cannot wait to make the second. And now to Sharon Van Etten. She's a singer and a songwriter who's been releasing music since the mid-2000s, and she's become known for writing this intensely personal and vulnerable music. She's set to release her latest record, Remind Me Tomorrow, this Friday, January 18th, and it's her first album of new material since 2014's Are We There? Which is like a bit of a stretch between records, right? But it wasn't as if Sharon Van Etten wasn't, like, doing stuff during those intervening years. She's actually been incredibly busy. She scored the music for Catherine Diekman's film Strange Weather. She did her first acting job in the Netflix show The OA, which I loved, by the way, and I'm happy to hear that there will be a second season of. She went back to school to become a mental health counselor, and she had a baby. All of those activities, especially that having a baby part, they change you. And you can hear Sharon Van Etten exploring those changes on Remind Me Tomorrow. Part of that exploration is sonic. Some of the songs on the record are centered around these intense, driving synth sounds, which is like a total departure from the guitar and band-driven arrangements of Van Etten's earlier work. Lyrically, you can hear her exploring issues of partnership and love and the past and family and her journey into motherhood. And as it turns out, family's always been an important part of Sharon Van Etten's story. Like she told me back in October, backstage at the Austin City Limits Music Festival, right after the release of the first single off of Remind Me Tomorrow, Come Back Kid.
One of the songs that changed my life was Neil Young's Harvest, which my parents didn't agree on very many artists, but that was one that we all were able to listen to. I'm one of five kids, so just all of us agreeing on a song was one thing. But we'd all sing along on road trips, and it was something that brought us all together all the time. And okay, it's like a very solid memory in my mind of just us all coming together and listening to music.
Did I see you down in a young girl's town with your mother and soul?
My first memories of the song was when my dad would have, I danced on my dad's toes in the living room. And it's still something that we'll do when I return home, even though I hurt his feet now. But it's one of our songs that when we have record nights, we play that song and we hang and drink wine. But as a kid, it was just me dancing on his toes, and he always gets teary-eyed because he's a very sentimental person, and from the first time he played it, he got teary-eyed, and even now he gets teary-eyed.
Did she wake you up to tell you that it was only a change of plan? Dream up, let me fill your cup with the promise of a man.
In a way, it's like my father talking about his feelings of love, but he's not like the best emotional communicator. Like I think he grew up in a time where you didn't really talk about things, but he addressed things in a way through music that it was a coping mechanism for me as a child. And when I couldn't express myself, music is what helped me. So this song was in a way my dad expressing his feelings on a man's responsibility, but then also as my father, just owning up to being my father.
Will I see you give more than I can take? sun.
Well, Neil Young is always so interesting because he's one of those writers where you don't know, sometimes you don't have any idea what he's talking about. I mean, I feel like a really good song is not specific, and you can connect with it and relate to it on your own terms. And I never knew what kind of relationship he was talking about, but I always connected to it. I almost always got teary-eyed listening to it. Like, still, to this day, I feel so much to his songs. And he's a romantic, and he's cynical, and he's funny, and he's a dark horse, and they're all the things I feel like I am sometimes.
dream up, let me fill your cup with the promise of a man.
Well, in the new record that you made with John Congleton, your song Comeback Kid, it's like aggressive, but it sounds kind of melancholy, and I'm not sure really what it's about. But it's also, I noticed, very synth-heavy. So I'm wondering how that happened.
Well, it was funny because... So one of the things I did during my time off was write my first score for this writer and director, Catherine Diekman. And during that time, I went to the studio almost every day, and I would try writing. And at one point, whenever I would get into a wall where I felt like I was having writer's block or the scene wasn't being enhanced by whatever it was I was doing, I would put the guitar down, and to clear my head, I would play anything but the guitar. And I was sharing the studio at the time with someone that had a couple synths in the room and an organ, and at home I have a piano, and so when I wasn't writing the score, I wanted to just play keys. So I wrote a lot more on the synths and stuff. And so I found that with the driving sound of the synthesizers that I kind of called on influences that people probably don't know that I have. Because Portishead was one of my favorite bands ever.
Please could you stay away to share my grief? It's such a lovely day to have to always feel this way.
And Suicide is another band that I really love.
Shri Shri. My comical fantasy. I love you.
And the new Nick Cave record, Skeleton Tree, like, was really informative for me.
You fell from the sky and crash-landed in a field near the River Adur.
And just hearing how you can do layers of drones and sonic waves and still explore melodies in a way that can be melancholy or driven was really fun. And so a lot of my demos that I started out were drones with weird drums and me singing in a crazy, like, reverb way. And so that's what John Congleton heard when we first met, to see if his schedule lined up and if he was interested. And then he asked what my influences were for this record, and I said Nick Cave, Suicide, and Portishead, and he got really excited. He's like, you're gonna let people see the freak? And I'm like, yes, I want people to see the freak side of me. Like, I like some crazy stuff. In being in school, acting, and finding time in between to make me realize that I still had a drive to write. I never was trying to make a record, and I think I'm lucky enough to work with a label like JAG that I'm not under the gun. They want me to make something when I want to make something, because they know that giving their artists room to breathe and live is what is going to make a better record. And so they're like, when you're ready, we'll do it. You just let us know. And having that freedom and space and experience in real life and having a grounding time home for a while gave me this new perspective to write about. Otherwise, I'd be writing the same songs that I've been writing, which those are fine too, but I want to make a different record every time I make a record.
Was there a point at which you thought maybe you wouldn't make records again? Like maybe you had kind of, you were just going to do some other things? Because you went back to school and you did some acting and...
I mean, there's a point I just wasn't sure, but I knew that music is something that I always need in my life, that I need to write, I need to sing to feel better. It's my therapy. I mean, along the line somewhere when I was... just getting a little self-conscious on tour and feeling like maybe I was being a little selfish, exposing myself in this way to people and expecting them to like my songs when it was really just singing my diaries to people. And I always tried to have a perspective where it was general enough for people to relate to, but I started getting really insecure that what I was doing was really selfish and that maybe I wasn't supposed to be sharing these songs. I would always be writing and it would always be for me. But I always struggle with, at what point do I share it? At what point is it something that other people will benefit from? And so that's why I paused for a minute to try to gain some perspective in many other ways, but realizing that I still had this drive in me to write and create and to share and feel like I would be helping other people. But you know, it's never a question of if I stop music. It'd be a question of, how am I going to share this with people?
Like it's a question of, do I want to share what I have? Was there something that happened where you realized that what you were writing was something that you did want to tell people about?
Well, I think I met a mother while I was pregnant who was talking about what was going on in the world, in the government. And I remember her saying something about her kids, and they would ask questions and like, you know, because... we all have very strong feelings, and I won't go into specifics, but we all have very strong feelings. But when her kids are afraid of the world, and when they think, you know, they ask if we're going to blow up, if we're going to have war, if we're going to, you know, like, are we going to die? Things like that, because of the news and because of what kids are talking about in school, because of their parents. The mother said something to me that kind of changed my perspective on how to talk to kids, and she said, regardless of my emotions and my beliefs, I just have to help my kids feel safe. So in whatever way I can do that, I want to do that. And when I look back on some of the songs I had started writing, I realized my perspective was no longer as like a lover, but it was as a mother. And like writing these songs with the perspective of, yes, this is a new love of my life, but this is someone that I want to protect, and it's bigger than being with a partner, because it's the sum of your love and you just want to protect this person. And I was so overwhelmed that it made me want to write from that perspective for the first time.
This is Jupiter 4 from Sharon Van Etten's new record, Remind Me Tomorrow. And in true good song fashion, like, I don't know exactly who she's singing about in this song, but for me, this song is about that deep love you experience as a parent. That's often shocking because until you have kids, well, you kind of don't even know you can feel that kind of love. And I think it's really cool how Sharon Van Etten's parents brought her to music and how her feelings around being a parent brought her back to music. Sharon Van Etten will be on tour starting in February, and chances are she is coming to a town near you, so you can find a link to her tour dates on the show notes page for this episode at ktx.org. KTX is the radio station in Austin, Texas, where we make this podcast. And starting on January 18th, you'll also find a link there for the new record, Remind Me Tomorrow. And as always, you can find a Spotify playlist there where you can hear all the songs we referenced in this episode all the way through. And that's it. You have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9 in Austin, Texas. This episode was produced by Art Levy and me, Elizabeth McQueen. Thanks to Deidre Gott and Peter Babb and Todd Callahan for all they do for this podcast. And yes, it is true. Our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own Hard Proof. Right on. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.